Welcome to another In Wheel Time podcast, a 30-minute mini version of the In Wheel Time car show that airs live every Saturday morning, 8 to 11 a.m. Central. It's the In Wheel Time car talk show coming up. New driving laws, regulations, words of encouragement from the Right Reverend and Sergeant Stephen Woodard from your Texas Department of Public Safety.
Awesome.
Mars reviews the Ram T-Rex or TRX. He hasn't wrecked it that I know of. So we'll do the on-ramp acceleration test with him.
Sure. After we talk to Sergeant Woodard.
With the Niederville Terror, Mike Mars.
The Niederville Terror?
Plus, Todd.
Oh, Godan.
Todd, yeah. Godan of the Falcon Club is going to join us. We'll also have the events calendar and the stories making automotive news headlines. Howdy, along with Mike Out of This World Mars, King Conrad DeLong, and we need more Jeff Zekin. I'm Don Armstrong. Glad you could join us on this Saturday. And joining us right now is our favorite cop. He is, ladies and gentlemen, Sergeant Stephen Woodard with the Department of Public Safety, also known as Trooper.
Super Trooper.
Super Trooper, Stephen Woodard.
Here. Hey, we got Jeff in the house. King's in a house. Mars, look, brother, I don't care what Don says about you. I love you, man.
Thank you. I'm glad somebody does.
I know, but before we get, look, I got all dressed up for you today, too, Don.
I like
Before we get into it, do you know I love you? Right off the top, brother Mars, you know I care about you, man. Don't take that stuff, man.
You haven't seen his record.
Yeah, I'm betting he has.
Hey, you know what's funny? You know, I heard the last time I heard Brother Don, because we called him the Silk Voice in the Sky. This fool burns down his wife's house or whatever, we're hearing Don call the whole deal. Don, what was that like?
Dude, that was the most bizarre thing I have ever been on in my entire life. The guy tried.
I think the thing is, it took so long to get him out, and while all of this is going, you're basically, you know, moderating or commentating the burning of the structure. I mean, this house was pretty much destroyed, fellas.
Yeah.
Don's your spotter.
And they weren't really too sure if he was even still in there until he set the place on fire. Because they sent in robots. I guess that they finally ultimately found him with the robot in the house. And then he went and hid again in some little area up above the garage. Because once they punched a hole in the front of his house, there he was like a rat up in there. And because the smoke was filling up the entire house and fire was right behind him. So they punched a hole in. And then it was like, okay, how are we going to get him down? So we had to crawl down.
Burn him out.
But you were like 2 miles away or a mile away, weren't you? Like right up to it.
No. We had to stay a mile away and 1,000 feet. So, you know, if they tried to talk to this guy. This guy was nuts. What in the world? It's truly amazing to me what you guys get yourselves into with nut jobs like this. I mean, it's truly amazing.
I'm going to tell you something right now, Doug. So first of all, I wasn't too much worried about him. I was worried about the homes next to the city.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And I'm thinking, dear God, please don't let these folks, you know, get caught up in this burning. But at any rate, let's talk about that robot real quick. I got a lot to get to today.
Yeah.
So there are two different types of robots. And those, let me tell you something, those machines are so sophisticated and the operators that, you know, control them. So you have one that's on kind of this conveyor belt type of wheel system.
Yep.
If I'm not mistaken, that's the actual apparatus that helped us capture or kill the individual that killed those Dallas police officers during a gun rally. But they also have one that kind of walks around on like these little, it looks like a little dog, man. And it'll go in and it'll just take care of business. I mean, you can't hurt it. The camera system on board is just phenomenal. And it allows us as law enforcement to go into a structure and basically take a look, talk, traverse. You could actually bring an individual something. Like if you have someone saying, hey, I want to talk to my mother, but I don't have a cell phone. Well, the robot has, of course, the equipment to bring that individual, whatever, you know, he or she's requesting. So pretty cool stuff. I want to ask you guys something. Are you guys seeing this fentanyl, basically this fentanyl epidemic that we're going through right now?
Dude, I saw a thing on the news, I guess it was last night or night before last, where they busted some people that were smuggling across the border dope, and it was all packaged. It was pills, all these blue pills and packages. I'm going, oh, my gosh. It was millions and millions of dollars of this stuff that was in these bags.
So your DPS troopers, and we're talking locally, right now I'm in the beautiful city of Hempstead. I mean, the sun is shining. Everybody's mining. I mean, you got some bikers there riding around. Well, what a beautiful day today up here in Hempstead, Texas. But your troopers right there locally in Houston, we seized a bunch of fentanyl the other day. And you guys did a great job, of course. All the local news outlets helped to share the story. But I'm telling you right now, we're seizing this fentanyl by the millions. I mean, the millions. And it's all coming from predominantly from the Mexico border. I want to share with you fellas that your troopers, we're still down there combating that, the illegal drug trade. I know this is a traffic show, but I got to get this out. Combating the illegal drug trade, the human trafficking, and everything else to try to basically keep Texas clean and keep it, you know, in my opinion, one of the best states in the United States. It's a challenge, but, you know, with the support of the community and, of course, with the funding, we're able to continue to do it to combat this epidemic on our streets. Look, I can set up right in camera view a fentanyl pill and maybe a pill that looks like something of the sort of a metformin or something. Someone would take that that's trying to combat diabetes. You wouldn't be able to tell the difference. And that's the problem. A lot of individuals, number one, they're taking the wrong drug and they're not realizing that the cartel is making these fentanyl pills extremely potent and people are dying. So we're trying to combat this thing. Number one, to save lives, and number two, you know, it's an egregious crime that puts a bruise on the state.
I got a question, Sergeant. When you come across fentanyl busts, so to speak, what is the precautionary things that you do so you don't handle it or minimize handling it? Is there special procedures for that?
So, man, that stuff is nasty. I stay away from it. I haven't personally come in contact with it. Have I been in the area of a bust of it? Yeah, sure. But it is every trooper in this state, and for that matter, most of your police agencies, you know, we have these Narcan kits to help combat. Not only us, because let me tell you something. Think about this. We're using the Narcan kits more on citizens than we are ourselves. There have been cases where we had to use these actual Narcan kits on animals, on dogs, on police dogs. But you roll up on a situation or a scene, if you will, and an individual is going through an episode of bad fentanyl or overdose, you apply it. You know, I was teaching a class to a group of folks last week, a couple of firemen in the house, and they were telling us, man, they're applying their administrative Narcan. I mean, it's like normal, and it is some nasty stuff. So it's just one more thing we have to educate our kids with, and it's another thing that we got to keep in mind that this is out here, and we need to continue to support our law enforcement community in combating this.
So we do, and there's so much more to it. I mean, it's...
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
We'll talk about that at another time.
I don't want to be a damper bad news, but we're talking about parking spaces. Do you mind if I do that?
Please go right ahead.
Now, somebody may say, now, wait a minute. Let me get the cat out of the bag. As a law enforcement officer, there are certain laws that we cannot enforce in a parking lot because it's private property. Now, can we enforce reckless driving, things up under that umbrella? Because, you know, if you're driving recklessly in a parking lot, you're endangering property, et cetera. Sure. But when we talk about things like you go to your favorite store and you know how they have those stop signs?
Yeah.
I can't enforce that, Don.
Well, I run the one at my HEB all the time.
You know what? I shouldn't have mentioned that.
And he's proud of it.
He's a rebel.
Yeah, he's a rebel. Ooh, rebel.
I can recap that from the tables that live. We done. So we're talking about things that now let's get into parking. So parking can be regulated. Of course, it can be regulated by the entity, you know, ATB, whoever. But I want to talk specifically about the handicapped parking spot or the disabled parking spot. So there was a time if you were a disabled veteran, you had a plate that said DV.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You could park in that spot. Well, that's since changed.
Mm-hmm. So now you got to have a blue placard.
You got to have a plaque. You can have a disabled veteran's plate, but it needs to have the international handicap symbol on it,
right,
or emblem.
By the way, Steve, can I just interrupt here and tell you that I have found my new favorite show, and it's a morning show, and it is called, and I'm going to recommend that you watch it. It's on A&E. You get cable out there where you live.
I do.
Okay. Well, I mean, I didn't
know. They got running water and everything.
Everything. But it's on A&E, and it's called Parking Wars. You ever watched it?
You know what? I've heard about
that. Oh, my God, Steve. If you want to get your day started off on the right foot, you have got to watch it. 30-minute episodes, and they're in Providence, Rhode Island,
Philly,
and Detroit mainly. And I have laughed till I cried about these people, one, getting tickets, then the booting process, and then them trying to get the car out of the compound, impound lot.
And following the rules to do that or not.
Oh, my God. It is absolutely.
Accent that we're working with now. Let me ask you this. It's not scripted like the record shows, right?
No. No, there's no script.
No.
Trust me. No, there's a lot of bleeping, I can tell you that.
All right, good. That's my type of show. With the parking spaces, there's something else we need to be mindful of. So let's say you go to a parking spot, and parallel to that parking spot is a space with hash marks.
Yes.
We can't park there because that's considered a loading zone. So again, we forget about we always talk about, you know, all of our attributes on the highways and byways, our interstates, farm to market roads, but we forget, you know, that, you know, hey, somebody needs that handicapped spot. And I'm telling you now, if someone's parked in that handicapped spot and they don't have the license plate or the placard, then unfortunately we're going to have to talk. And I think back to, you know, individuals like my grandmother, she's going on now. But I tell you, she needed that spot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of times we see that. And, you know, again, is it a ticketable offense? Sure. But, you know, it's more of a conversation. But I tell my troopers, be extremely careful with someone that has a placard and they park in the spot and they just get out. Because you never know what someone's disability is. Every disability is not visible. But we're talking about the folks that are parking in those spots illegally. Number one. If you have a disabled veteran's plate, state says you can't park in that spot anymore. You have to have
the
international handicap insignia. Yes. And there's two different placards. We know there's the blue one, which is permanent. And then there's the red one, which is prescribed by a doctor.
Temporary.
Those up at the county agent, mm-hmm. and they'll take care of you on that.
Yeah. And then there's the handicap spots. Disabled spots that are for van only, and then there's one for cars.
And then there's one for pregnant women or women with children.
That's not handicapped.
No. But the point I'm trying to make is that you'll see a sedan parked in the van spot.
Yeah. So the pregnant women or the veteran, like you go to Lowe's, they'll have veteran parking. They'll have about four or five spots. That's a courtesy deal.
by the company.
You know, you park there, you're just being a jerk. You know what I mean?
Right.
But at the end of the day, let's be mindful that, hey, even though we're our hands are tied and there are minimal traffic laws we can enforce in a parking lot, we still can do reckless driving, especially if you're endangering the public or property. And, of course, we need to be mindful of our parking spaces.
So you,
fellas, how important. Go ahead.
You may not be able to give them a ticket, but you can talk to people.
Yeah, we'll visit. We'll visit.
Yeah.
Hey, important is insurance.
What?
How important is vehicle insurance?
Well, hell, you got to have vehicle insurance.
Would it surprise you? Well, it probably would. My question was going to be, would it surprise you that the majority of people that would stop, they typically don't have confirmed auto insurance?
That would not surprise me.
Okay, so we're on the same page. So there's several different insurance provisions that you can get. You can get surety bonds. You can be self-insured. You can get the average policy that we all have, whatever. But I would really like to, and this is based on crashes this year, I would really like to advocate for our listeners to tell their family and friends to really get really uninsured motorists. I'm telling you, I'm knocking on wood, computers, AR-15s, whatever the case may be. If you're hit by someone and they don't have insurance, man, you're in a bind. We're not advocating for particular insurance companies. We don't do that, of course, as you know. But we're trying to save folks the headache that if someone hits you and that individual has insurance, number one, if they leave the scene, you know, hopefully we find them. Number two, if they hit you and they're there, of course, that individual has some legal procedures that they'll have to handle from us. But now you have to take this person to court and get uninsured motorists.
Yes.
It's a little bit more, but you'll thank him in the long run.
See, so let me ask you, who dictates what the driver education courses teach? I mean, is that a function of the DPS or someone to say, here's the minimum things you got to have in a driver's education class? And the reason I'm asking that is because I've had one that just finished, a grandchild just finished, and I got one more that's taken it, and it's the same thing. What I ask them about insurance card. You got your proof of insurance? What? What is that? You know, they don't get taught, or apparently don't get taught those kind of things as part of that driver education. Yeah, curriculum. That's what I'm trying to think of.
Yeah, I've got a 15-year-old granddaughter that just got her permit. Any words of encouragement?
God help us all. I'm with my son. So first off, there is a curriculum mandated by the state that instructor needs to go through. It's a teen impact program. You can take a look at it on the DPS website. That instructor probably went over it, but, you know, most things aren't harped. You know, a lot of, you know, when I visit those drive instructor classes, they're harping turns, stopping, and they're trying to prepare that student to pass the state exam.
Right.
And insurance isn't really a state exam observation, so I see what you're saying, but there is a curriculum that has to be followed. It just depends on the instructor on how
well they did. Yeah,
you know, we haven't gotten to one new driving law and regulation that I teased in my intro to you, and that was 20 minutes ago.
Well, I tell you, legislation is in the state's house is packed right now, and I tell you, nothing has really changed for the lay driver. We had a few implementations for the farmer, but there may be some changes after legislation, but everything is still steady as we speak.
Well,
right now.
We like to call that copacetic.
Yeah.
Everything is still copacetic. That's right. Yeah, you're the guy with the shag rug at the house and all that.
I am. Yes, yeah. Hey, and that would be the avocado green. Thank you very much.
And the lava lamp.
That's right. Hey, I want to say this, and I know I'm getting to my time. Talk about new drivers. So my son, he has been in, he's 18 now, and he's about to go to A&M. He just committed to A&M for football.
Congratulations.
And thank you. He has been in three wrecks.
What?
One in my golf cart. One, he was at a green light, made a turn, and didn't have the green arrow. And then the last one, and the final one, was he hit a parked car in the neighborhood. Talk about insurance, fellas.
Great, hey, great driving coach there, coach.
Yeah,
hey,
yeah.
Hey, gig him, gig him.
We took that license from him. We took his ability to drive for a little bit. And I'm going to tell you something. His driving has improved dramatically.
Yeah. So, when you take his license away, yeah. Yeah.
And how much did that cost, by the way?
Hey, fellas, have a good day.
Yeah, exactly.
Think of something, Brother Don. You know, insurance, is you got to have it, man.
Absolutely.
But my friend with our 15-year-old Jewel that's getting ready to be a new driver, man, don't ever feel like you're harping or being too hard on them, because at the end of the day, you know, driving is the most dangerous thing anybody, including us fellas, can do every single day.
Mm-hmm. Stephen Woodard, it's great to talk to you. We love you. You know that. Just call us anytime. We'd love to have you on.
Be safe.
Thank you for having me. Thank y'all.
Yep.
You too.
Thanks, sir.
Love talking to
He's
you.
He's so much fun.
He is.
Pray
All
for
right,
him every day.
Time now for, let's do the car review, Mr. Mars, because I know you always manage to get long-winded on these. Time, Mr.
What?
Mars has the Ram T-Rex that he got to drive.
I enjoy driving the Ram T-Rex.
Well, you didn't sound like it with that long breath like that.
Well, it's just because there's so much I want to say about this
vehicle.
Well, you
get going because you got about
he's not sure if Woodard's still listening.
Yeah, I'm making sure he's off. So we had the Hydra Blue, bright blue, gorgeous car. The Ram 1500 is actually available in 7 trim levels, and the TRX is one of those. That's a performance level. It's an awesome full-size performance pickup. It's very distinguishable on the body because it's got flared fenders. I mean, not just fender wells, but I mean the whole fender is flared. Rides on some 35-inch all-terrain tires. It's got skid plates. It's got high-performance Bilstein shocks on it. Got a functional hood scoop. Now, this hood scoop provides 50% of the air to the engine. Actually comes through that hood scoop. The rest of it comes through the rest of the grill and stuff.
She-jack nostrils.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Yeah, yeah. Got TRX graphics all over it. Got rain-sensing wipers and power folding mirrors. And it's really got a lot of things that are very much similar to the limited trim level. And that's where it gets all its kind of luxury components. And then they took that and beefed it up for all the off-road stuff. Power tailgate release, got a deployable bed step that you can step up into it, adjustable cargo ties, cargo bed linings, trifold tonneau cover, all these kind of good things. Now, you get into the inside of it, and this is actually where you see a little more relationship with the limited trim level, because you got leather seating surfaces, the front seats are heated and ventilated, the rear seat is a 60-40 folding and reclining seat that is also heated and ventilated, so it makes it very nice back there. We had the 12-inch touchscreen in the middle of this monster TV in the middle of the console, and we had the heads-up display for the driver. So, you know, you're going to get your performance pages, your off-road pages. You got all that stuff right there where you can find it and real easy to get to. And we had a 19-speaker Harman Kardon audio system with 900 watts.
Jimmy Buff.
So if you really wanted to try and drown out the sound of that supercharger, you could try it, but not
is
good.
This video of you, Mars, out there doing donuts
in
this thing?
That's why it's red. I specified I had the blue one, and that's all red.
Well, okay.
So, to make all this thing go, and really what puts it out there to make this thing special is the 6.2-liter supercharged V8 engine. Now, this is 702 horsepower, 650 pound-feet of torque backed by an 8-speed automatic transmission. You plug in that with the 355 gear, and you got lots of go. You can haul a lot of donkey with that thing. Now, the EPA says
Monty.
In the city,
Monty.
You should be looking for 10 miles to the gallon on the highway, 14, Ooh. Combined for 12. Uh-huh. Now, you got a 33-gallon tank with this thing, so you can go a long ways with it if you really want to. Yeah, it does nowadays. Now, I drove it 219.9 miles for the week I had it, and I got 10.7 miles to the gallon on average.
Because you're fat-footed.
I love driving this vehicle. Comes with launch control, four driving modes on it, got an independent rear suspension, and that gives it really and truly for that vehicle what I think is a remarkable ride down the highway. It just, because of the way it's designed to flex in the off-road environment, it just takes the highway like it's nothing to it. And you set it up there at those speeds that you want to go and just let it flow.
And it's got pitch and roll on the on it as well.
It's got all kinds of things that I'm not even getting into. I mean, tons of stuff in here.
Theoretically.
So if you're looking at it, you can get a base model Ram 1500 crew cab, or the quad cab, actually, for $37,400. But if you want to step up into the world of the performance truck Ram 1500 TRX, you're going to start at $78,790.
Whoa.
Now, we had a few options that I mentioned. Punches it up to $98,780. Now, if you're looking for something to compare this to, the only thing that I really felt like you could compare it to is the Ford Raptor, which kind of started this off-road desert.
But the Ford Raptor now has a six-cylinder in it.
Well, it does. They keep promising that there's something bigger coming. But as far as, you know, that there's a 700-horsepower version that they keep saying is an R-Raptor is coming. But as far as the suspension and that off-road desert capability, and when it did have a V8, it was the first time I ever got in one and actually had one of the Ford engineers drive it to show me what that would do. And I was loving every bit of it. So that's what I would compare it to closest. So if you're looking for something that you can drive around town and you can go off-roading, whether it be in the rocks, in the sand, in the desert, you might want to really look at the Ram TRX 1500.
I'm thinking more along the lines of a desert runner.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah. It says it'll do 100 miles an hour easy on the desert. I can't imagine going across the desert at 100 miles an hour, but that's what the PR says.
Well, you got to remember back in the day, those types of trucks, I'll go to the original Bronco, they'd go to the Baja.
Yes, yes.
You know, those, they would display the capabilities of the truck by running it at Baja.
They had modifications, though.
Thank you. In Wheel Time Car Talk Show is available 24/7 through the iHeartRadio app. Just look for In Wheel Time Car Talk. We also video stream on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and InWheelTime.com, and 30-minute podcasts are at your fingertips on over a dozen of the most popular podcast outlets. The In Wheel Time Car Talk Show continues right after this quick break.
Tailpipes and Tacos, Houston's premier car cruise and return, Saturday, April 15th to the Loopy Tortilla Tex-Mex in Katy, 8 to 11 a.m. Bring your Hot Rod, Classic, Restomod, or any other vehicle you'd like to show and compete for one of three highly coveted Chili Pepper trophies. This April 15th kickoff event is one you'll want to put on your calendar because 100% of the money you donate for the free tacos will be given to God's Garage. You heard right, free tacos. Whatever you decide to give, all of it will be given to God's Garage and matched by Loopy Tortilla. God's Garage gifts vehicles to single mothers, widows, and wives of deployed military in the greater Houston area. In fact, the garage will gift a vehicle to a mom in need at this special event. Be sure to attend the next Tailpipes and Tacos Cruise-In, Saturday, April 15th, 8 to 11 a.m. at the Loopy Tortilla Tex-Mex in Katy on the Grand Parkway at Kingsland Boulevard, just south of I-10. Free breakfast tacos for any donation to God's Garage. It'll make your heart and your belly feel good. The award-winning In Wheel Time Car Talk Show is available on the most popular podcast channels out there in 30-minute episodes. We realize our three-hour live show can be difficult to catch in its entirety, so now you can listen every day to a convenient, fresh 30-minute episode. Check us out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and Audible, along with a dozen more. In Wheel Time has the most informative automotive guest interviews and new car reviews, along with popular features including Conrad's Car Clinic and This Week in Auto History, along with automotive news headlines. Our live broadcast airs every Saturday, 8 to 11 Central, on InWheelTime.com, the iHeart app, and on YouTube. Be sure to say hello when we're broadcasting from the Tailpipes and Tacos Cruise Inn, Autorama, and the Houston Auto Show, among others. Now, it's easier than ever to hear about all things automotive all week long. You're invited to join fellow car enthusiasts in becoming part of the ever-growing In Wheel Time Car Talk family. Don't forget
you
those
own a
30-minute
car you love.
Well, why not let Gulf Coast Auto Shield protect it? Houstonian John Gray invites you to his state-of-the-art facility to introduce you to his specialist team of auto enthusiasts. We promise you'll be impressed. Whether you're looking to massage your original paint to a like-new appearance, apply a ceramic coating, install a paint protection film, nano ceramic window tint, or new windshield protection called ExoShield, Gulf Coast Auto Shield is where Houston's car people go. Curbed your wheels? Instead of buying new, why not have them repaired? How about a professionally installed radar detector? Gulf Coast Auto Shield does that too.
Get a peek inside the shop and look at the services offered by getting online and heading to gcautoshield.com. Better yet, stop by their facility at 11275 South Sam Houston Tollway, just south of the Southwest Freeway, and get a personal tour. Gulf Coast Auto Shield is your place to go for all things exterior. Call them today, 832-930-5655 or gcautoshield.com. That's it for this podcast episode of the In Wheel Time Car Show. I'm Don Armstrong, inviting you to join us for our live show every Saturday morning, 8 to 11 a.m. Central on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and our InWheelTime.com website. Podcasts are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeart Podcast, Podcast Addict, TuneIn, Pandora, and Amazon Music. Keep listening, and we'll see you soon.